This is the Nordic Football Guys Podcast. What is up, everybody? This is the Nordic Football Guys. I am joined, as always, by my host, co-host, Antti. Say hello, Antti.
Moro, moro, Hayden. What's up? You forgot to say your name.
My name is Hayden.
You always say, this is your host, Hayden, and I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, Antti. But you left out the Hayden part, so I just filled that part out of you.
Thank you so much, man. Other than the lack of my name, did you notice anything else with our intro that I did it differently?
Nope.
Yeah. So I have received some feedback, actually, in the past couple days that I have been every single week using incorrect grammar. So I fixed the grammar. Instead of saying with, it should be by. So instead of joined with my host, Antti, it's by my host, Antti. So from now on, I will be saying that correctly. I just thought that that was fun, and I had to point a finger and laugh at myself for that because it's been 25 episodes.
It's been 25 already?
It's been 25 episodes, and we have been
Sick.
Yeah, I know. Look at us, man. We are like that. It's crazy to think about. This is episode 25.
Do you think we are going to get to 50?
I was thinking, let's hope we get to 100.
This year?
Yeah, this year, no, but maybe 50 this year, yeah.
Well, 50 for sure this year. I mean, it's June, and we started in January, so, and now we are 25, so I guess we should get to 50.
Yeah,
50
like right at the end, I guess. But
if we are posting like not bi-weekly, but two times a week when the season begins.
Yeah, so we should get close to 50. We should be in 50 during the football season, so that'll be exciting. We'll have to do a fun like 50 episode 50 something.
You try and make a like a mosh pit of like funny stuff.
Yeah, like top 50 if moments for episode 50.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what will make it is this intro.
Are you sure?
Maybe not. But
low standard.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you're not that funny of a guy, and now we have to take it with what we can.
Well, I'm speaking not my native language, so
yeah,
some of the fun drops out.
That's
I'm a
true.
Lot funnier guy in Finnish.
I guess I wouldn't know. It explains a lot about you. Why you're not as funny as everybody says you are. But hey, we have a really awesome episode. We actually just finished recording it, and it is freaking awesome. It was one of the best episodes I think I've ever done. What do you think about it?
Yeah, because we are quiet the most of it.
Yeah, literally, I think Antti and me say two words or like two sentences in an entire hour. But it's awesome. So we brought on Brad, who is our resident Instagram user, like the guy. If you're talking to us on Instagram,
you have met him already.
Yeah, he was in a few shows. But then we brought on great friend of the show, Chris, the Detroit Beastie. So he is a pretty interesting DFS writer. Because Antti and I don't know anything about DFS, we had to bring Brad on to interview him. But it was one heck of an interview, and I learned so much. So if DFS is something that you're interested in, then this is the episode for you. What do you think?
Yes, DFS is daily fantasy sports. I even didn't know that much before the show. So,
but yeah, you're going to hear all kinds of great content. You're going to like get a bunch of introduction to DFS. You're going to get some tips on like what you can do, some strategies. You're even going to hear about me and Antti. We came up with a little wager for the season. So I don't want to spoil it too much. So without
further... Then I got you up. We came up with a couple of episode ideas as well. And it's not mainly football. He also covers a lot of other sports like NBA and NHL.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah. So we have all kinds of things lined up. We came up with all these different show ideas, and we're really excited to get it started. So without further ado, let's cut over to that interview now. All right. We are now joined with Chris, aka the Detroit Beastie. This is one of our closest Twitter friends, and it's been way too long. We're so happy to have you, Chris.
Thank you for having me, and you took the words right out of my mouth. If I remember correctly, when I first started really using Twitter and sharing content and building relationships, you guys were one of the first pages and first two people that we really took to each other. And you've been supportive. If I ever needed a share or a like or a comment, I know you could always count on me. Hopefully you guys can count on me as well. And very happy to be here. This is a long time coming. So I've been looking forward to this since last week when we started getting the ducks in a row here.
Yeah. Chris and I, we actually met a couple of weeks ago at a happy hour fantasy league, like sit down, and we had a great time. I had to stay up super late for that, but it was totally worth it. Yeah. Like Chris said, he's the kind of guy that, anytime that you need anything from him, you can send, we send him our stuff and he always likes it. We don't even have to tell him. He just retweets it and he's so happy to get everything out there. So it's amazing that we finally got him to come on. Today we are also joined with our, one of our NFG social media guys, Brad. Brad was on our episode that we dropped a couple of weeks ago. How you doing, Brad?
What's up, man? How you doing today?
Yeah, not bad. What you been up to, man?
Really not much. Today I went on like a walk. It's been raining like the last 3 days here in Wilmington. So just finally was able to go on a walk. It's a nice day outside, the sun's shining finally. Mm-hmm. And when I got home, just did a little bit of statting, some fantasy football statting for this year, and played some Call of Duty Warzone with you two as well. Well, yep. You and Auntie.
Yeah, we get a lot of that. Get that in as much as we can. What you might be wondering why we have Brad on the air with us today is because Brad is like our in-house DFS guy. He obviously does not know as much about Chris, but we needed Brad here just to kind of be our median guy. So Brad is going to lead a little bit of the interview. He's got some questions lined up for Chris. But before we get that started, Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I'm sure the people at home would love to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you can guess where I'm from, given my Twitter handle, at Detroit Beastie. Born and raised in Detroit on the east side. I do not live in Detroit anymore. I'm about 20 minutes north. Big sports guy. I love to play sports, watch sports. I'm in school now to behavioral therapy. I work with impaired adults, coach some Special Olympics stuff. Just a lot of positivity going on. And where I don't want to say where I'm from, meaning like the United States or Michigan. I'm just saying as a human being and as a man, I think it's best if I, you know, try to help and support other people, you know, build them up instead of calling names or being too picky if, you know, who you make relationships to. I think all of us, just to hone it down to what we do, you know, fantasy sports, seasonal sports, podcasting. I think we can all grow and go further with if we love and we support each other more than saying, well, my stuff is better than this guy. I'm not going to support him. You know, it's all nonsense. And from what I've gathered in my few years of earth, you will always go farther if you're looking to help other people. You stay humble and you do what you're supposed to, basically go about your business, then, you know, the good things will come. I'm a firm believer also in things happen how they're supposed to. So as long as you're making the next right decision or helping someone out, you will be repaid tenfold.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at life. You mentioned something there that kind of interests me. You said that you are into coaching something in the Special Olympics. What got you into that and what are you coaching?
Well, I coach Special Olympics basketball and Special Olympics softball. So I'm sure you're aware of the pandemic that has occurred in the United States and actually all over the world the last few months. So as it stands now, softball has been suspended and or canceled. But I got into it after it was a career switch kind of thing. I was working at an inpatient drug and alcohol rehab facility. That's really, I put all my eggs into that basket, you know, drug and alcohol therapy kind of thing. And it just, it tore my heart out, my soul out, seeing people, you know, continue to use or die from making bad decisions. So the job that I have now, as I said, I work for an organization where we help mentally impaired adults and their quality of life and all that. And then the the Special Olympics just came after working with a large group of impaired adults and the families and the other coaches needed help. And I'm, again, more than willing to help and support anybody. So it just led to where I am now, you know, continue to make good decisions and live the right way. The good will come back to you.
Nice, man. That is an absolutely wonderful story and like a great side of you that I didn't even know you had. So we're learning so much about each other now.
Thank you. I'm not just a meathead sports freak. If I assume that's how you thought of me. So this big monster sports hunk.
No, not at all. That's not what I was thinking, but it's just, you have a good side. I'm happy to hear that, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we brought Chris on today to talk a little bit about DFS, which I'll let Chris and Brad kind of take it from there. But Chris, can you explain what DFS is for somebody that is a DFS like newbie, like Anthi or myself?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. So DFS it's short for Daily Fantasy Sports. And I've been playing on FanDuel since 2012. And I'm almost certain like that's when DFS, specifically FanDuel, was created. And their whole idea and the whole moniker behind things was, is your seasonal team trash? Are you already out of the playoffs in week 3 or 4? Do you have a lot of injuries? You can't even field the team. Well, why don't you come play on FanDuel or DraftKings where you draft a team and it's your team for just that day. You put in a couple real dollars, you can win a couple real dollars. So I'm upset that I didn't think of it, because who would have projected that the massive boom and the popularity of DFS? But I know a lot of people that play not only on a smaller level, but I know people that play on a massive scale. And there's also people that do DFS, FanDuel, and DraftKings for a living. And those people are the ones that are spending $10,000, $20,000 a day when there is actual sports to play. And that's their full-time job. And it just seems, I'm happy and proud of those people, but it just seems so out of my my realm of normalcy to spend $10,000 on fantasy sports. Cause I always think of it as, well, if I had $10,000, then I have $10,000. I don't need to play DFS to win $10,000. Does that make sense? I already have the money. So why would I blow it on DFS? But I get it. There's a certain rush that comes with gambling or any sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Not knowing what's going to happen next and all that. So DFS is a huge part of my fantasy history. DFS is the whole reason why I started to write fantasy sports content. And now it's, since there are no sports being played, I've had to transition to seasonal stuff, both hockey, football, and baseball. And again, hate to quit harping on this, but I'm a huge believer in things happen how they're supposed to. And with the cancellation of professional sports, it's led me to where I am now. So hopefully sports are back soon, baseball, Stanley Cup playoffs, and I'll be able to balance both DFS articles and continued success with my seasonal stuff.
Yeah, we hope that you can get back on. I think we're all hoping that we can all get back to regular sports play soon. Before we kick it over to Brad, Anthi, is there anything you want to say to Chris? You've been awfully quiet this whole time.
Well, you have been talking so much. Don't want to intervene and cut you off. I'm about to hear a good stuff from DFS. And then if I'm right, I believe I might have tried that in hockey earlier. It wasn't FanDuel, but it was maybe a competitor of theirs. So I might have some experience, but it's been like 4 or 5 years, maybe something like that.
It's funny you mention hockey, because that is, living in Michigan, they call Detroit Hockey Town. The Wings are here. That is probably my favorite DFS sport to play is NHL. And I believe when we crossed paths a few months ago, that was my primary writing specialty, was daily fantasy hockey content. It was called Hot Pucking Stacks, and I did a goalie one, and I had a lot of momentum with the hashtag and writing hockey DFS stuff. And I just love hockey more than any other professional sports, it's safe to say. So I'm glad you mentioned the NHL and hockey, because when the Stanley, there's nothing, to me, there's nothing like the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup finals. It's just browbeating. It's tough, hard-nosed sports, and some of these series get absolutely out of control. And I hate to stereotype, but I would imagine you guys in Finland are huge hockey guys. There's a lot of professional hockey players that come from your neck of the woods.
Yeah, hockey is huge in Finland, and of course, I have played as well hockey in my past. So I love to watch it. I love NHL. The Finnish league is kind of it's good growing step, or like a jumping step for those NHL stars, but it's a bit too slow in my for my taste. But for sure, we have at least as for now, we have a great class of Finnish players in the NHL, and it's very fun to watch. We have some of the top players, in my opinion, at least like 20 plus year old guys. So,
yeah. And I know you didn't ask, but it prompted a comment of mine that of all the sports that have been suspended or canceled so far, I'm most excited for NHL to come back, without a doubt.
Yeah, me too. I actually won our hockey fantasy league.
Yeah.
I guess because the season was canceled and I was leading the league. So I guess makes me a winner.
Yeah,
let me go off of that. What you're being the fantasy hockey winner. It was going to be me and you in the championship, and our hockey went away after the pandemic came. So don't call yourself the winner yet. It was me and you.
I have an idea if you'll humor me for a second.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You two are, as Brad put it, we're trending to meet each other in the championship game, you know, in your league. I could see a point where I would even host this event where we see who's in the Stanley Cup finals and you guys each draft a team from all the competing Stanley Cup teams, and you can settle it that way off the books in a way, if that makes sense. And, we'll see where it leads.
I absolutely love that. We totally need to do that. So we'll do an NFG comp with Detroit Beastie and Brad versus Antti in the fantasy playoffs. That is an amazing idea.
The draft would be pretty quick because it's just you guys going back and forth. And then after you fill your roster and a couple bench spots, just like an actual seasonal fantasy draft, that's your team. There would be, and again, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, just spitballing, brainstorming. But after you draft your team, there would be no waivers, right? Because you draft the team, we write it down, and then I wouldn't mind if given the opportunity, I can keep the stats for you, or each guy can keep his own stats and points for their team, and we'll see how it shakes out at the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That is a great idea. That's such a good idea. What do you think, Antti?
I was leading Brad with two wins, so I only have something to lose, but I'm not afraid. I can challenge him.
You can have the first pick.
Yeah, going off of what you're saying, Chris, that's a great idea. I'm definitely down. Isn't there a way to challenge somebody on DraftKings, like as a free game? You both put $0 in, and you just do it as a free to play against one.
Head to head. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but again,
the only thinking about that, if you guys draft a DraftKings team or a FanDuel team, it's only for that one game. So it's all up to you. I'm open to being the commissioner in any way that I can. But I was thinking more of like the whole stretch of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But you could do on a per game basis, and then best of 30 games, 26 games? I don't know.
I foresee a NFG special episode in the future. Very excited for this. We'll work this out on Twitter together with you, Chris. And
sure.
We're going to make this happen because this is awesome. All right. Brad, why don't we kick it over to you now to start some of the questions that you have come up with.
Yeah, for sure. So, Chris, you already went over a little bit about how long you've been in DFS. It sounded like you said you started in 2012 on FanDuel.
Correct.
So my first question to you is really, well, you've already kind of said when you started, but I wanted to know when you kind of got into the DFS game and what initially got you started in getting interested in DFS itself.
Great question. I don't think anyone's really asked me this before, just, you know, in passing maybe, but I don't think I've ever got like in depth. If I remember correctly, I think it was one of those days where I'm just driving, right? And back then, and even still now, you on the radio, a radio guy would go, well, our sponsor is this new site, FanDuel. And if you use promo code NFG guys, you get, will double your deposit, you know? So, you know, I use my debit card, put 20 in, they give me 20 back. So I got 40 to spend. And I just started fooling around with it. And it was really in my wheelhouse of crunching numbers, stats, thinking of different strategies to beat the other people. And hockey was the first DFS sport that I got into. So just looking into all the goals against, the plus minuses, it was really driving me crazy in a good way where I couldn't get enough of it. And you fast forward now to 2020, I still haven't let up the gas, and I've come up with a million different strategies and things to try and things to do to get the edge, get the leg up on people. So long-winded way of answering your question. I think it was just a like a radio spot where you use the promo code and we'll double your deposit.
Right. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure the way I found out about it was I think I was watching an NFL game like a couple of years ago or something. And during the commercials, they were just like DraftKings, blah, 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 like put in $50 and they'll match your first deposit or something. So it's really, really easy to get into it to begin. And they give you a good incentive to do so. But going off of, we're talking about DraftKings and FanDuel, I was going to ask you next. We talked about DraftKings and FanDuel, but there's other apps out there now. I'm not sure if you've heard of like SuperDraft, and there's even other ones out there now that are kind of just getting on the scene where DraftKings and FanDuel already have most of the market share of the sports betting app industry. So which one, DraftKings and FanDuel, which one do you like better, and what have you had the most success with, which either of those two?
Well, without a doubt, it's FanDuel. I'm a simple man. I'm loyal to a fault in some ways. So, you know, when you pick here in Michigan, you know, there's I'll put it in this phrase. In Michigan, there's a lot of college sports teams, but the major ones are University of Michigan or Michigan State. You either love one or the other. You don't love both. So when it comes to DFS, you have FanDuel and DraftKings, and then all those other sites and apps trying to get a piece of the pie here. So to me, I provide DFS content for both sites, FanDuel and DraftKings, but my first love is and always will be FanDuel. And I found great success on FanDuel money-wise and winning-wise. And I get FanDuel more, if that makes sense, because on DraftKings, if you look at the prices of each players on the same slates, they're completely different because they give you a bigger budget. Like on FanDuel, if you're going to play a Sunday NFL slate, you have $60,000 fictitious dollars. And then on DraftKings, I believe you have $35,000 fictitious dollars. So we all know what that means. A quarterback is X amount. You got to fill your lineup. And I just get FanDuel better in the inner workings of the players and their price points and the upside you get with one guy at his price point and this and that. So again, FanDuel is my first and will be my longtime love.
Cool. Yeah. So I've used DraftKings more. I've only played like a handful of slates with FanDuel compared to DraftKings. So that's good to see somebody else having success with a different app. So you're talking about, we were just talking about how the NFL slate works when you add certain players for the amount of fictitious salary that you have to be able to build your lineup. What sports do you normally play other than NFL and you talked about MLB and then hockey. Are there any others that I just didn't mention that you have had success with or like to play?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's, I play a lot of NBA on FanDuel, and that's why I love DFS so much, because I'm not a basketball fan at all. Like, obviously I'll hoop in the backyard with some friends in a pickup game, but I don't watch basketball on TV, rarely, if at all. So people with, well, that doesn't make sense. You don't like basketball. You don't watch basketball. Well, why do you play NBA DFS? Because I found a method where it's super easy to clean up with your winnings. And when it comes to basketball, out of any other sport, you can literally set your watch by a guy's average minutes, his average points per game, his average assists and steals a game. It's unlike any sport, because as we're all hockey fans, how can you project that, you know, let's say Sidney Crosby he scores 3 goals a game, and then every night he scores 2 or 3 goals. Hockey doesn't work that way. Football doesn't work that way. Obviously, well, he's averaging, you know, Aaron Rodgers is averaging 300 yards. But basketball is the easiest sport for me to play. And I found a method where I can put in 150 to 200 entries, you know, in smaller cash games, double ups, quintuplets. And so before lock at 8 p.m., let's say, I have 120 entries, and I use the same lineup, the same roster in all 100 plus entries. And if it hits hard, you can bank on 1200 to 1400 bucks. If it does okay, you're still looking at 500 to 600 bucks. And if it does terrible, you're still going to get a little edge of your win. So when it comes to NBA FanDuel or NBA DFS, it's just necessary evil, you know, if you're looking to win a couple bucks.
Yeah, so NBA is probably the one that I've played the most on DraftKings. NBA, then I would go NFL, and then I don't think I've done NHL at all and any of the other ones. I mean, you can get into MLB, MMA, soccer.
Yeah. Race car, NASCARs, yeah.
Right.
You so say golf?
There's golf. Yeah, golf's big.
Yeah, so NBA is pretty big, and I would agree with you there that it's pretty there's a lot of people that, like you were saying, they literally all they do is do this for a living. So they have all the time in the world to make sure that they're setting their optimal lineups, and they're gonna cash on a lot of games. So they have more time to research and make sure they have a good plays, but
That's it. And look real quick, if I could, you guys sent me kind of like a tentative schedule or script for the podcast, and I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was like question 4. What could you tell someone like a newbie that wants to get into DFS, like some of the do's and don'ts? And then Brad, you just touched on the guys that play full time. We call them sharks because they're able to, they have such a huge bankroll. They're able to max out entries in big contests where, you know, 100 lineups or 150 lineups max in the big tournament, AKA a GPP. And so of course, if you have 150 entries, one or two is bound to hit, and you keep doing that day after day with your research or your optimization tools. It's just, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's kind of, it puts us casual fans at a disadvantage when I only feel comfortable spending $100 a day or $150 a day on FanDuel or DraftKings, while someone, you know, in the next town over puts 25 grand in a big tournament every day where first place is 100 grand. Sooner or later, come to find out, every day those guys are going to hit on a consistent basis, and they do it full time, and they get rich from this. And it's just no ill will, no hard feelings. I find it absolutely amazing that you could play DFS for a living. It just blows my mind.
Right. Yeah. So I'm glad that you kind of touched on like the advice you'd give to the new players? Like, so I would say if you were going to start, like, say we had sports back today and there was an NBA game tonight, the Celtics against the Bucks or something. And would you recommend a new player getting in like a cash game or a GPP, global player pool? That's what it means, correct? I want to make sure I'm saying that correctly for everybody at home. That's what a GPP
is. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, so, just it's all capital letters, GPP, also known as, you know, the big a big tournament, yeah.
Would you recommend somebody to get into a cash game, them or like a head-to-head cash game? That way they can see that it's pretty competitive, and that if you enter a GPP, say you put in $10 for the GPP, you're going up against like 50,000 other people that are probably a lot better at the game and not as casual as the brand new person.
Yeah, absolutely. My first piece of advice for any person or anybody looking to get into DFS would be you want to start small, and that starts small with a cash game or those dollar entry three-man contests, five-man contest, or 10-man contest, because you want to – you hear in the DFS community, it's a huge term, building a bankroll. And all your bankroll is your account, the balance that you have on whatever platform you're using. Start small. Cash games, head-to-heads are good. There's double-ups, which are, let's say I'm sure you know, Brad, but a double-up would be you spend a dollar, you get into a game with 100 people. You don't have – all you have to do is get in the top 50. So 100 guys in there, the first 50, double their entry fee, and the bottom 50, zip, zero, nada. So that's a good way to, you know, dip your toes in the water, you know, get your feet wet, all those corny cliches. And before you know it, you found your own process, you're comfortable, you know, with your research, and then you can start to play the big GPPs. And I recommend, and I play only, if I'm going to get into a big tournament, it's single entry only, meaning you can only have one entry in the tournament. So that eliminates all the sharks when they're able to max out entries, 150 or 100 different lineups. So if you're playing in a big 14,000 player tournament, everybody is on an equal playing field. Everybody has one entry, and to the victor goes the spoils.
Right. Yeah, I would recommend the same about that. Like, when you have a single entry, it just makes it a lot less competitive. I mean, they, like you were saying, all these guys that are the sharks and they have thousands of dollars to play with and they've accumulated it over time, it just makes it a lot less hard competitive to be able to win these things. And like you were saying, the double ups, I've played in those before where, like you said, you get in the top 50, you bet a dollar. I mean, you're going to double your money. It's not going to be a large profit, but it makes it a lot easier.
You have to be patient too. You know, if you're starting something out for the first time, you're not expected to know everything right off the bat. Heck, I don't even know everything as it stands now. I'm constantly looking for ways to improve or, you know, get an edge with a couple points here and there, you know. And cash games is my way to go. That's the way I play. And I've had some success with MLB of all sports. I've won a few big tournaments in my day. One was for $3,000, one was for $5,000. And when it comes to big tournaments like that, sometimes you're almost better suited. I compare it to like a lottery ticket or a scratch off. You know what I mean? The odds are astronomical. So first and foremost, any fantasy sport, whether it's seasonal or DFS, the number one rule is it should be fun. You should be enjoying yourself. If it's not fun, if it seems like it's work to you, walk away, take a break, or just completely cut it out of your life. Because, you know, being here with you guys today I'm ecstatic. I'm excited. It's fun to me. I enjoy this. If I woke up this morning and said, ah, damn it, I got to call those guys in Finland today, I don't want to do it, I don't, you know, then why am I doing this, you know? So when it comes down to DFS or seasonal sports, if you're not having fun, walk away.
100%. I definitely agree with you there. Next thing I wanted to get into for you, like building lineups, like how, like kind of just what are the different terms as far for DFS, as far as there's terms that go into like core plays, like the core guys that you're going to have on your lineup. And then there's also things like having contrarian picks. Those are guys that in as far as I know, are guys that are going to be very low owned, but have a very high upside to scoring a lot of points for you. And then a lot of people don't have them in your lineup, their lineups. So it makes it easier for you to cash in on those games. Other than those two things, are there anything else, any other terms DFS wise for the beginner that you would recommend they know, kind of research a little bit before they get into the DFS game?
Oh yeah. Yes, I do. So the difference, people have long struggled with the difference between cash games and the GPP tournament games. Do I want to use the same lineup in my cash game, the same lineup process in my cash games as compared to the GPPs? And it's no. So when you talk about core, also known as the chalk plays, if you've heard that phrase before, when you're playing cash games, you want all safe picks, all safe bets, guys that you know that you can count on, because in a cash game, there's a huge room for error. You know, you can have a guy put up a goose egg in your lineup in a cash game and you would still win a couple bucks. So when it comes to cash games, you want those chalk plays, right? When it comes to the big tournaments, the GPPs, you want to get more contrarian because you want your lineup to be different and to look completely different than the other line. That's the only way you're going to hit big or get in the top 10 of a 20,000 player tournament, right? If everybody has the same lineup, then everybody ties at the top and everybody's splitting the prizes. So when it comes to GPPs and tournaments, as you said, Brad, you want those high upside guys, those cheapy bottom of the barrel guys that you don't think anybody else is going to roster. And let's say they catch three touchdowns or they put up a triple double in basketball, you're going to shoot up the rankings. And those are the kind of plays that are going to get you in some big dollar winning situation. So hopefully I've kind of explained that right. Kind of rambled for a minute. So when it comes to cash games, you want your core chalk guys. It's okay to have the same players as other DFS guys at cash, because you guys can all tie and the winnings are the same. When it comes to big tournaments, you want to be contrarian and as crazy and off the wall as you can think of. That's when you'll hit.
Awesome. That definitely helps a lot of people for sure for the beginner. Auntie, you had something to say?
Yeah, if I remember right from my Huggy DFS, DFS days. Yeah, that's right. I'm a bit slow today. There's something about stacking, right? You want to stack like a center and a winger, for example. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Stacking, to me personally, and a lot of other people that I look up to and respect in the fantasy community, especially the DFS community, if you're going to win, you want to stack players from the same team, you know. So you want, when it comes to, I'll speak for hockey real quick. There's a ton of different sites you can go to, like Left Wing Lock. That's the one I use, where it gives you the lines, you know, the Detroit Red Wings first line, their first power play unit, their starting goalie. When it comes to hockey, I feel like you have to stack to, if you want to accumulate points and do anything worthwhile. So when it comes to hockey, you know, the guy scoring the goal gets points, the guy that gets the assist scores points, and the guy that, you know, the plus minus guy, he gets points too. So if you have, let's say Steve Yzerman scores the goal, Sergei Fedorov assists him, and then Nicholas Lindstrom on the blue line is on the ice, so therefore he gets a plus. Everybody gets points, and it trickles down. So one goal can get you, you know, 23 to 24 points cumulative from those three guys. So stacking is a big deal. Same thing with NFL. I always like to stack a quarterback and a receiver from the same team. Doesn't always have to be a running back, but the the strategy here, I could talk until the sun goes down here in Michigan about it, because that's what I enjoy, that's what I live for, and that's why I've continued all these years in playing DFS, because the content and the numbers and the ways you can do it is seemingly never ending. So I'm glad you brought that up, because stacking plays a huge part in DFS success.
Yeah, I would even go to say, like, it's not only really important in DFS, but like in your season long fantasy football leagues, having a stackable lineup like Tyreek Hill, Pat Mahomes, for instance.
It's absolutely
for having some high upside winning weeks.
Within reason, because that what you said sparked something. Like, of course, you want any piece you can have of Kansas City or Baltimore's offense. You know, I wouldn't necessarily want to draft the entire New York Jets offensive roster because they weren't that good last year. So you have to pick and choose who you stack, but it can pay off given the right situations. Those high-powered offenses that you want any piece of it. You even want the backup running back, because he gets some, let's say goal line touches, or he has the, like James White in New England, he's got the pass catching running back duties on lockdown.
Right. Hey, Hayden, you had something to add before we move to the next question?
No, I was just going to say, when you're talking about like regular redraft, that's like the main reason that Zach, our Twitter guy, that he won our money league was because he had Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. And any time that they would get into the red zone, he was guaranteed like 15 points, like every time.
So, yeah. A good example of a team that I would want to hitch my wagon to, who's, it's a high-powered offense. I wouldn't necessarily want to own, let's say, I'm trying to think of the Chicago Bears offense. How much can you expect from Mitch Trubisky on a weekly basis for seasonal formats?
Not much. He's pretty bad. Nick Foles is about to steal that job, probably.
I agree with you, unless he's playing the Lions, because if you look into it, obviously Chicago plays the Lions twice a year. He threw three touchdowns in each game he played against the Lions last year, so he had six touchdown passes all against the Lions last season. So.
Six touchdowns of his 17. Think of that.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah. And that's a kind of a good question or something to dig into. Does that speak of Trubisky's talent, or does it speak of the ineptitude of the Detroit Lions defense? So.
I think it's just something to do with those rivalry games. You got to chalk it up to that. It's always a shootout or it's no score, but I wouldn't put it so much on the Lions personally.
I hope not, but we'll get to that bridge when we cross it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, Chris, the next question I really had for you was you talked about kind of resources for people to use as far as for DFS hockey, that website for articles and stuff like that for that. What other resources and articles would you recommend to our listeners that are going to be beginners to get started in DFS? I know you said while we haven't been recording, we were talking to you on Twitter, and you were saying that you – work with DFS Cheat Sheet?
Correct. Yeah, I'm the head writer over there.
Can you tell us a little bit about them and what you do for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So the owner, creator, COO, CFO at DFS Cheat Sheets is a friend of mine called. His name's Jeremy. You can find him at DFS Dudes on Twitter. They approached me, I'm thinking, I don't have it written down in my calendar, but about eight or nine months ago, because I was just on my own on Facebook and just getting started on Twitter, just getting my content out there, throwing some stuff out there. And they approached me, asked if I'd want in on the team. And at the time, they were a primarily DFS site, right? They have an optimizer going. They have a ton of articles in all sports. As Ante said, golf, NASCAR, and all the four major sports, and they got into a little bit of the KBO, which is Korean baseball, given the suspension of sports. But Jeremy brought me in, and I got way into the hockey articles. I would do a DFS article published in the morning, and then back it up with a video talking about the talking about the article, which I had wrote for Plays that day. So if you fast forward until now, there's been no sports. And I hate, I've said that a million times already in the short time we've been together, but it gave me a time to get back to my roots and start to write more seasonal stuff, whether it was baseball dynasty stuff or whether it was NFL draft and rookie stuff. So now we've created like this huge following of people that are into seasonal stuff. So I'm able to do both. So when actual sports comes back, I believe I said it in the first few minutes of our broadcast here, I'll be able to balance both. I'll be able to do my DFS stuff, then I'll be able to do my seasonal stuff when the time is right. So I'm very happy and proud to be a part of DFS Cheat Sheet. I've never, any job I've ever had in my life, any writing gig, any schooling I've done, or any full-time career kind of work, I've never been involved in such a supportive atmosphere. Jeremy and any of the other editors or anything over there, they've never told me no once. They've never said, that idea is kind of silly, we don't want to run with it. They've given me the keys to the castle, and I'm able to, you know, really stretch out my creativity and do and say what I want within reason, given the relativity of sports. So I'm very super happy, thankful, and humble, all the above, to be a part of DFS Cheat Sheet. So shout out to Jeremy. And again, I couldn't be happier.
That's awesome, man. That's great to be a part of something that, I mean, it sounds like you'll have a lot of success there, being that you were just saying you can really run with everything and that no one's been like, no, we don't like that and stuff. Like they trust in your ability to do what they would like you to do. And that's right.
For yeah. And I think so. And that's why I think we have a good relationship, partnership, whatever you want to call it. And given when I say recent boom, I say, you know, the last few years, everybody and their mother is writing DFS stuff, whether you're in your mom's basement, you're on your grandma's couch. And with social media, everybody has the outlet to say anything and everything that come into their mind, whether it be, you know, political, anything, educational, whatever. So you have to be careful with what you read and who you trust, because there's a lot of toxic advice out there in terms of seasonal stuff and DFS stuff. It's almost like some people get their kicks out of giving crappy false information and watching you sink and not succeed. So be careful with what sites you're going to and who you're talking to. And personally, I would never pay a single soul for any sort of lineup, right? Because that's big. A lot of people, they want the fame and the glory, and they want to win money on Sunday with an NFL lineup, so much so that other people see that, and like scammers or people take advantage of, well, if you give me $20 right now, you send it to me, you know, PayPal or Venmo, send me $20, I'll send you a NFL lineup that you can start Sunday at 1 o'clock. And it's all, I don't like that kind of behavior, and it takes away all the fun of you being able to figure something out on your own and in learning your own process. So again, to reiterate, be careful with who you trust and what sites you go. I have a short list of websites I go to. I'm so big into optimizers for DFS purposes. DFS Cheat Sheet has one. It's pretty top notch. Jeremy has some of the best programmers and analytics guy in the country, you know, working on his stuff with the site, to it making it better every day, all day. So optimizers are big. Look into one. Any questions or comments, find me on Twitter at Detroit Beastie. I'm willing to help anybody that I can. So
that's
buy stock in an optimizer when it comes to DFS. And I'm sure you guys know what that is. You know, you can fine tune your players and your rosters. You hit optimize and it feeds you out a starting lineup, which you can use on FanDuel DraftKings based on your personal preferences. And it has it takes into account any stat, any rain or sunshine, anything you can think of. It takes that into account to give you the best lineup for that day or that slate.
Yeah, I agree. with the optimizers. I've had success with it. You can even use it. It doesn't have to be just for GPPs. It can be for the cash games and stuff like that too. Also what you were saying.
And again, sorry to cut you off. And again, an optimizer is only good as the people that are putting it together, because when you build an optimizer, there's a ton of numbers, analytics, what stats from each sport are you going to choose? So again, I can't stress this enough. Be careful what site you go to, who you hitch your wagon to, because an optimizer, again, is only good as the site or the people that are putting it together.
Definitely agreed. You said you had a short list of websites that you use. Other than DFS Cheat Sheet, for the people at home, can you kind of give them a few more options? That way they can see what would work for them best if they tried a few of them.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I have a subscription, a premium subscription. It's called RotoQL, ROTOQL.com. They do all of the major sports, hockey, NFL, baseball, basketball. They're fantastic. It's not, I don't want to say it's cheap, but it's not super expensive. And I've found astronomical success with that website. And then one of the first guys that I've ever was in touch with as far as writing articles and stuff for, his name was, so shout out to Tim Parker. Him and his friends started their own optimizer site. It's called topflightsports.com. Could just be Top Flight, but his name's Tim Parker. He's an East Coast guy. He's a Boston guy. Never a negative experience with the guy, never a negative experience with the site. They have great customer service, much like Cheat Sheet. So I just want to show love to Top Flight DFS, RotoQL, and of course, the site I work for, DFSCheatSheet.com. So shout out to Jeremy and Tim. That's it. That's my list. It's a very short list. And I've tried dozens, probably hundreds of other websites and optimizers. And those are the three that I feel most trusted with. I feel confident and comfortable spending money on those sites, and the customer service on those sites is second to none. So I know Jeremy's not going to be upset with me, because this industry is all about building friendships and relationships. And Tim Parker and I've had a good friendship or working relationship, if you could say that, over the years. So I'm happy to scream from the mountaintops, DFS Cheat Sheet, Top Flight, and RotoQL from the mountaintops.
Awesome. Well, I'm thank you for sharing those with me. I can't wait once we can actually do DFS again with everything back. I'm definitely going to check those out for sure. I hope others listening will also use those. So moving on to the next question for you. Do you use any kind of software that kind of tracks your earnings and your losses through DFS? In the past, I've used what's called RotoTracker. I don't know if that is the same thing that RotoQL prepared. Like, did they make that, or have you heard about it? What do you use, if you do at all?
Sure. I've heard of RotoTracker, and to answer your question about RotoQL, I don't know. I don't want to give false advice, because I've never looked into tracking my losses and earnings on RotoQL. And again, I've always been open and honest and transparent with anybody I've had an interaction with in all my articles and my content. I don't use a website or any kind of program or software to track my winnings and my losses. My thing is, since I was old enough to grab a pen and a piece of paper, I'm known for keeping impeccable notes and or doodles and things like that. I have stacks of, if you look at my notebook here, I know this isn't so people listening to this, I have a little notebook with hundreds of tabs in there, and I use a notebook for all my ideas, my thoughts, my seasonal stuff, my DFS stuff. So I keep a log. I have a separate book. I keep a log of all my DFS, all the stuff that what goes in, what comes out. And then every year at tax time, I have to file taxes. So that's a good way to catch up on your books, if you will, about what you're spending, what you're winning. And if you have to file taxes for your fantasy winnings, I'd say that's been a pretty successful kind of year, because I don't, you only have to, and you guys might that listen to this might burn me, but I'm not 100% sure. I think anything that you claim, gross profit or net profit, anything over $800, you have to claim on your taxes. So if you're, you know, not putting anybody down, but if you're only playing for quarters and pennies and, you know, you wind up winning $200 for the year, that's cool. You get to keep that. You don't have to claim that for a buffer, like super serious players, anything over, I believe $800, you have to claim it. So, I'm not trying to talk anybody into adapting my style and what I do. I just love to keep notes and doodles and just nonsense like that. That makes me happy, and I like doing it.
Right. And so a lot of these the softwares out there like RotoTracker, they have like a paid subscription. They have a free version, but that could only get limited. So I mean, if for those that are listening, if you're thinking about using this when you get started, I mean, you can use the free version or you can use Chris's version, which is totally free because you're writing it down yourself. You don't have anything keeping track of it for you other than yourself. So if you want to save money, use Chris's route. If you want it to be a lot easier and just done for you, then use RotoTracker. There's other things out there software-wise to be able to track your earnings and losses. Also going off of like the tax time stuff that you were saying, I'm in the wheelhouse where I didn't need to to do it for my taxes. It sounded like you have had it in the past since you've mentioned it. So definitely you can see the where you're up here on the DFS scale and I'm like down here, and I know enough to like know what DFS is, but like I'm glad you're on the show here to kind of give your insight. It's definitely
Thank you. And in no way, shape, or form am I'm not a professional DFS player. It's still a fun hobby that I like to do, and it leads to meeting and having conversations with good-hearted people like you. So I've never had bad intentions when it comes to DFS, trying to scam anybody out of money or trying, you know, begging people for money. But if you trust yourself enough to take your own notes, then that's what I do. I'm not trying to push my ideals on anybody, but that's just something that I find that the easiest, most simple way to do it.
All right, cool, man. Well, I have a few more questions for you. I know we're trying to keep this episode not too long. So with obviously the sports betting industry has been growing, DraftKings, more and more casual players are joining DraftKings, FanDuel, and all these other new ones. I'm not sure if you dabble with the stock market at all, but would you be confident in investing some of your money into the stock market, like DraftKings, for instance? They just had their IPO, which is an initial public offering, and they're now a publicly traded company as of 2020. Would you ever want to invest some of your money into that, seeing as like the trajectory of the sports betting industry? Do you have confidence that it'll grow a lot more over the coming years?
To answer the last question you asked, the fantasy industry it's still growing. Safe to say it's already exploded, and it's to the moon right now. And would I feel comfortable investing in stocks as far as like FanDuel or DraftKings are concerned? I won't get too wordy, but yes and no. Yes, because again, it's just going to continue to grow, probably at a really nice clip. But I would say no, because I feel like if you haven't invested already, you've missed the boat. So there's little to no money to make in terms of, you know, like big money. You know what I mean? Because as it continues to grow, the profit is there, but your margin to make personal profit is gone, given the fact that you've invested in 100 FanDuel stocks at, I don't even know, or DraftKings, I don't know even know what the stock is sitting at, but that's just business 101. You want to get in on the ground floor at dirt cheap prices, you know, let's say something silly like $2 a share, and then it booms, it explodes, it's $100 a share. You're making $98 per share that you own. So I think that the profit for or the margin for profit with buying DFS stock is probably, I don't want to say little to none, but it's not as hot of a stock to own as I think it was when it first went public, if that makes sense.
Yeah, actually, when it first IPO'd its first day, from I think it started in between like $10 and $20 a share. It's currently sitting at like $43 a share as we speak. So people like it, and
you would have doubled your money. Yeah.
Reason why I wanted to ask you that is because I'm thinking about getting into it at some point. I think once sports get back and they are able to turn profits, it's gonna. And with the growing industry, I think it'll be a good investment. But like you said, it might not be as good as an investment as it could have been if I got in as soon as it got started. But really, like, we're getting towards the end of the time that we had. I just wanted to ask you one more thing. I know you're a huge Lions fan, and so step aside from DFS a little bit. Do you think we were talking earlier about them and like the Bears, do you think they have any chance for a playoff run this season or soon with Matt Patricia, Matt Stafford coming back off of the injury? What do you think?
Well, it's a great question, and it's a simple answer, but I'm not a simple man. I'm a easygoing man, and I'd like to think I'm a simple kind of guy. I could talk about the Lions and their prospects for hours. And quite simply put, every time this part of the year, the whole city of Detroit is just like overjoyed with optimism and hope. This is going to be our year, much like anybody who like spring training is concerned for baseball. Every MLB fan base, this is the year we go to the series. And I don't mind speaking for the other Detroit Lions fans, where every season this time, this is going to be their year, boys. This is the restore the roar. That's what they're going to do. And I can honestly tell you, as a 36-year-old man, I've started to pull back that kind of thinking, you know, that eternal optimism that I always have with the Detroit Lions. I will always love the Lions. They're my team. I want to see the city of Detroit do good and be successful. And I just think I need to tone down my excitement for what I think the Detroit Lions are going to do every season, because it's common knowledge, it's public record that they haven't done a thing in 20, 30 years. So a home playoff, if they were to host a playoff game downtown in Ford Field, I can tell you one thing for certain. I will empty any checking account, savings account I have, and I will be in that stadium. And I wouldn't be surprised if the fans in the city of Detroit don't absolutely tear the roof off that place. That's how much the city of Detroit is behind the Lions, and that's how bad they want to see a winning Lions team.
Awesome. I know I would be happy to see the Lions succeed. I know our buddy Zach, who handles our Twitter, you've primarily been talking to him a lot, and like you were thinking that we're all Lions fans, but mainly it's Zach who's the big Lions fan, so he would be happy to see them succeed, I'm sure. And we'll see what happens. I think Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones can be big for Matt Stafford this year. He was having like a career year up until he broke his back or whatever. They wouldn't really like say what was happening for a while until.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. Other than that, I really wanted to see Hayden. I know you and Auntie have been talking about our listener league, and it's been filling up pretty quickly, but I wanted to extend the offer to you, Chris. If you want to join that league, it's going to be our first listener leagues. We started back in January, so we'd love to have you join it if you can.
Absolutely. What kind of jerk would I be if I told you guys no live after you've extended the invite to me here? So putting me on the spot, all kidding aside, absolutely. I'd love to join.
Awesome.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, that's good to hear, man. Well, that pretty much sums up all the questions I had for you today. We from all of us at NFG, we're really happy that you're able to join us today, man. You gave a lot of good insight.
I can't thank you enough for the invite. Like Hayden said early on, before we even went live, this was a super long time coming, and not by no fault of me or you. I feel like there's a lot more that we need to discuss. So maybe down the road we can hop back on here and just have a longer, lighthearted conversation. You know, because again, I'm not being rude. It was great. I feel good about this, but the fact that you guys have been so supportive, and I enjoy interacting with you on Twitter. I need more. I need more NFG in my life. And I think it starts with another podcast part two. Maybe we can treat it like a horror movie series where there's always a sequel every couple. As the time passes.
The return of the Detroit Beastie. I love the idea.
That's it.
For sure.
Hey, but seriously, we're definitely going to have you back on regarding that hockey thing. That I'm super pumped about. You're going to be heavily involved in that. That's going to be awesome. Yes. Antti, I'm going to close it out, but do you have something you want to say first?
Yes, I want to challenge you.
Me?
Challenge
Hayden, and you can be like our mentor, sort of. We both invest $10 to FanDuel, and we see at the end of this year, end of 2020, like the sports need to come back for sure. But if the sports come back by the end of 2020, who have grown that $10 more is the winner.
I love
and the
that.
Loser have to do something silly.
I absolutely, absolutely love that. And we are going to have Chris be kind of like the referee. Chris, is that cool with you?
Absolutely. You need me to be like the like a bouncer, consigliere kind of situation? Like,
yeah,
you're
well,
number two?
Yeah, you're going to be my – I guess Auntie's number two too, but I'm going to have a lot of questions. I tell you what, I'm really sorry. I was not as into – like not into it, but like I couldn't ask questions because like DFS is – brand new thing to me, like the way you were speaking to the listeners at home for being new. I was learning along with you guys, and this was phenomenal. Chris, first of all, I want to thank you for joining us. I'm so happy we made this work. We're, like I said a million times, we're going to have you back on. This was one of the most fun episodes I've ever had, and I didn't even say anything. I was just learning so much. And really, really quick, I want to shout out Brad. Congratulations to Brad. This was his first time ever hosting an NFG, and you did a heck of a job, Brad. So congratulations, Brad. Good job. Thank you for coming and doing this with us. You were a natural, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the feedback there.
Yeah. But yeah, Chris, before we go, anything you want to say to the people at home?
Yeah, real quick. On Twitter and social media, you can find me at Detroit Beastie, or you can find my stuff at dfscheatsheet.com. I have two articles coming up. One of them is going to be like the top 10 or 15 fantasy, seasonal fantasy stuffed games as I see them coming up in 2020, as long as an all quote article from all the Twitter followers and the readers and the interactions I've had. It'll be an article completely based on people's quotes, their thoughts, their ideas. They can promote their websites, their podcasts, anything they want to do. And I think it would be fantastic, because as we bring this episode to a close, I'm just a huge fan of loving and supporting everybody and their work, and, you know, getting the word out there, you know, go check this guy out. Go follow this guy. I think we can all learn, and we can grow, and we can become better the more that we interact and the more that we help and support each other. No point in talking mean, being a jerk, stuffing people down. The growth and the education comes from helping and supporting each other. So continued success to you guys. I can't thank you enough for having me on. And I know that we will be chit-chatting on an everyday, regular basis like we always have done.
Yeah. Well, you are a fine example of what you are preaching, so I'm happy about that. But anyway, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.
What up. Moro moro mita poro. That's Finnish and it means what's up reindeer in short.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode or all of our previous episodes. We hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. That is the most important thing.
Go and listen to us in Spotify, in Apple Pod, and all the other major podcast platforms.
And if you have any questions or you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at NFG Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We hope to see you there.
Moro moro.